All right, so now we go to a little bit more complicated problem. This is a one-dimensional crystal. We have many masses, and they're connected by springs. All the masses are equivalent. All the springs are equivalent. And I will apply periodic boundary conditions. So the last mass on the end is connected to the first one, so they all have equal environments. And then there's a differential equation for every mass, and I'm going to specify that with the integer s. And the differential equation looks something like this. There's the spring force pulling it to the, this one's pulling it to the right, and another spring force that's pulling it to the left. And you can write this something like this. Looks a little bit like a discrete second derivative. So now I've got many differential equations. And I want to look for the normal modes. So I assume that they're all oscillating with e to the I omega t, like this. I assume that they all oscillate with the same frequency. And I just plug that into this equation up here. And what happens is that because of the second derivative, I get a minus omega squared here in front. And that gives me a couple set of algebraic equations. There's one equation for each of the differential equation, so there's one equation for each of the masses. And then I decided just to write that out as if there were six masses. So I, because it's hard to write, it would be, the matrix would be as big as the number of masses in the problem. But I decided that there, if there were only six, then I would get a matrix that looks like this. And what you see is down the diagonal, all the elements are the same. And on the super diagonal, all the elements are the same. On the subdiagonal, all the elements are the same. And we get these elements in the corners. And we had a similar looking matrix back in the problem of benzene. In benzene, we had also all of the atoms were coupled to their neighbors, and there were periodic boundary conditions. And we got a similar looking matrix. And at that time, we wrote the matrix in terms of the translation operator. So the translation operator has ones all on the super diagonal, one one here, and then zeros everywhere else. And the inverse translation operator, which would, the inverse translation operator moves you left instead of right, had ones on the subdiagonal, and a one up in that corner and zeros everywhere else.
Why is there minus C in the corners?
Why is there a minus C in the corner? This is because the last mass is connected, the one on this end is connected to the one on the other end. Right? And that happens, so this is the mass on the other end, and it's connected then back to the first one. That comes from the periodic boundary conditions. Maybe periodic boundary conditions seem a little bit artificial, but eventually we'll get to three-dimensional crystals. And it's convenient to use the, mathematically convenient to use the periodic boundary conditions. So we will do it. So I could write this matrix as what's on the diagonal times the identity matrix minus this constant plus the translation operator plus the inverse translation operator. And what we found when we looked at the translation operator is that if you know the eigenvectors of the translation operator, they're also the eigenvectors of the translation operator squared and of the inverse translation operator, and they're also eigenvectors of the identity element. So we just have to go and look up what are the eigenvectors of the translation operator, and they will be the eigenvectors of this matrix. And then we will know what are the eigenmodes of this linear chain.